Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. Now, is that an awesome promise? I can pray for what? And all I got to do is what? Believe, and it'll be mine. So I took that verse and I prayed. Now, what can I have with that verse as a son or daughter of God? Anything. So I took that verse, I prayed, and I believed God that her little valve's going to work, and I praised Him, worshiped Him, thanked Him for 2 months, and then I didn't feed her nothing. I didn't give her anything to eat. You can see how much faith I had. So I wanted to do like all the rest of us. I wanted to hear the doctor say, it's working. Now you can feed her. So I took her back to the doctor in 2 months, and he checked it, and he said, I'm sorry, sir, it don't work. I thought, what? It can't fail. God's word. God, He made me a promise. It can't fail. So I come back and repented of all sin, and stood on that verse one more time. I said, Lord, now thank you that Caitlin's flapper valve works in the name of Jesus. And I praised Him for 2 months, and we took her back to the doctor, and I knew it was going to work this time, but it didn't. I thought, and so we go through this 5 times, 10 total months, and I'm feeding her through a hole in her stomach. Not a thing going down her throat. Because the doctor told me, if you give her anything to eat by her mouth, it's going to run into her lungs, it's going to kill her. You only can feed her through that little hole in her stomach. Well, after the 5th time or the 10th month, I come home and I said, Lord, I don't know what I've done wrong. So I read this verse. Now, maybe I'm just a little bit slower than the rest of us, I don't know. But I read this verse for 2 or 3 weeks. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. Now, you would think I would have got that the first time, wouldn't you? But I didn't. I didn't get it the 10th time or the 50th time. I don't know how many times I read it, but I read it over and over and over, and I quoted it probably thousands of times. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing what?
Word.
Oh, it don't come by hearing the television show or the weather or none of that kind of junk, huh? Faith comes by hearing God's mighty word. So, after about 2 or 3 weeks, I realized what I'd done wrong. Uh-huh. I didn't really believe. So I repented for my unbelief. And I quoted that verse one more time. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, for my little granddaughter, Caitlin, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm going to ask you to fix that flapper valve in her throat. And this time I know it's fixed. Because your word said it, it's done. Now then, I'm going to take her and go over there to her house. I said, Toby, that was her daddy. I said, Toby, you got anything for Caitlin to eat? He said, well, I got some applesauce and some orange juice. I said, put it on the table. He said, well, Thurman, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to feed her. He said, Thurman, we just come back from the doctor 2 weeks ago and the flapper valve was not working. I said, I know it wasn't working. It wasn't working earlier this morning. But I said, I guarantee it's working right now.
Amen.
He said, how do you know that? I said, God's word made me a promise. And I'm believing it. I said, I realize what I've been doing wrong. I have not believed the word of God. I said, so Caitlin, honey, she was in her bedroom playing with her little doll. I said, Caitlin, honey, come in here. Sit down to that chair right there and eat that applesauce for granddaddy. She come running in there, grabbed that little spoon, starts putting it in her mouth. Now then, if this is your only granddaughter, and you just come back from the doctor's office, which is a good doctor, and he told you that flapper valve don't work, is it going to take some faith breath to do this? Yeah, it's going to take faith. But I fed her. And she ate every bite of that applesauce and then drank about half that bottle of orange juice. And then she jumped down and run back to her bedroom. And that flapper valve has been working ever since.
Great.
I asked a woman one time in a teaching. I said, anybody in here have faith? She said, I'm a Baptist, sir, and I have faith. I said, okay. Let me tell you a story. I began to tell her that story. I got down to the end. I said, now that's your grandson or your granddaughter. And the doctors have told you just 2 weeks before that thing, for 5 times, that thing has never worked and it'll never work again. I said, now, are you going to take God's promises and believe with no doubt in your heart that that valve's going to work when you pray? She said, mister, I've been a Baptist for I forget how many years. She was like a 75-year-old woman. She said, I thought I had faith till I heard this story. She said, I must not have any faith at all. She said, I had a son, a grandson, that 5 years ago that died in Cook's Medical Center, and I prayed, Father, if it be your will, heal this boy. I said, and it didn't work, did it? She said, it did not. I said, I've come to realize that God is a faith God, and you don't ask if you say, Lord, if it's your will, you better know what His will is.
Amen.
He's not that kind of a God. I said, if you get in his book and you don't know what his will is, then you can't stand on it. Now we go back to Psalm 103 and let's see what his will is. I was talking about Brian's wife there a while ago and what she said. Let's go back. Here we are, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, with my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Now then, I could tell she was praising the Lord a while ago when she was just telling me the story. She was just praising the Lord. Yeah, I don't know if you even realize that, but you were really praising God. Now then, what should we all do? Praise the Lord. Can you overpraise God?
No.
No. That's one thing you can't overdo. You can't overpraise the King. He loves it. Then he says again in the second verse, praise the Lord. So you see, he's telling us over and over and over, praise me. You want something from me? Praise me. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things he does for me. Now see, it's real easy to forget what God's doing for you. You know that? It's so easy. And in fact, you know, if every once in a while when I just look at Caitlin, I flash back to 10 years ago when the doctor told me she can't live. It's impossible. And then when I carried her out of the hospital room, when he said, I don't know why this little girl's living, but we'll make her a motorized wheelchair. I said, don't worry. She's never going to ride in a wheelchair. She's going to run and play. He says, sir, you're not a doctor. And you now this is the one of the finest down at Cook's Medical Center. He is a good doctor. I will have to say, Dr. Marks, he's good. And there's a lot of good doctors out there. And they know from a medical standpoint, they know what they know is true. But they don't know anything when it comes to faith. When it comes to faith and you run into a man of faith, then it throws their doctor world totally upside down. Totally upside down. And so I said, guarantee she'll never ride in a wheelchair. Guarantee on the Word of God, this little girl will run and play again. And he said, sir, that is impossible with this little girl. Now see, he knew what he saw on all the tests and x-rays or whatever they do. MRIs, whatever they do. He knew it was impossible for her to live and to run and play. But a couple of months later, when I took her back down there for a checkup, I'm walking down the hall. She's still totally blind at that point. She can't see a thing. She got a hold of my finger. We're walking down the hallway. She's just walking right along beside me like this. Dr. Marks comes out of his office, and he sees Caitlin there, and he comes running up there and just swoops his arms up under her, grabs her up in his arms, runs down to set her on the little table down there and starts pecking on her knees and all kinds of stuff, and elbows and arms, listening to her heart and everything else. And I said, Dr. Marks, what do you think? He said, all I got to say to you, sir, somebody a whole lot bigger than me put this little girl back together.
Amen.
Well, is that a true statement?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, somebody a whole lot bigger than Dr. Marks. He may be one of the best doctors in Cook's Medical Center, but he's still limited to the doctoring world. And he has never learned to pray. Now, you can take a doctor and prayer. What can that doctor do? Ooh, man, that guy can do awesome things if he don't get fired. You know, because, I mean, when you start praying for people and they start getting healed, oh, you're cutting into their money. We don't want you here. You got to stop this praying for people. See, I got fired in the business world for the same thing, praying for people and seeing God do things. But look what he says here. He says, praise the Lord and never forget all the good things I do for you. Verse 3 and 4. See what that says. He forgives how many of my sins? So all I got to do is what? Confess my sins to him and he forgives all of them. Do I have to confess them more than once? No, that's it. One time. As soon as I tell him, Lord, I'm sorry I did this, he said, okay, I put it. Cheryl's favorite verse is right down verse 12 in that same chapter. It says, and he puts my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again.
Amen.
So see, you don't have to confess them how many times? One time and it's done. He forgives all of my sins and he heals. Did you notice anything unique about that verse? He does what first? He forgives what? Oh, and then he does what? Then he heals. Isn't that amazing how God put everything in order? You notice he didn't say, you won't find this nowhere in the Word. He heals all of my diseases and then forgives all of my sins. It ain't in there like that. He forgives all of my iniquities or sins first. And then he heals all of my diseases. But he only heals them when you stand on his word. And the average person, I was one of them, I mean, if I hadn't had a good doctor through my life, I could have never made it. I'd have died. Something would have happened. Praise God for good doctors, because I don't know very many real men and women of faith. Do you? No. If I hadn't had a good doctor when I was young, I didn't know how to stand on God's word. I didn't know the promises of God. But I mean, the first time I got my hand cut open or whatever, you know, I mean, you know, working as a mechanic, you know, you get hurt every once in a while, you know, something. You know, I mean, I remember one time just something simple. I was putting an antenna on a brand new car. Of course, I had to drill a hole inch in the back of the. That's why I drilled that hole out. And of course, you know, it had a little piece of metal flipped up there. It didn't quite tear off, you know, left a little thing about an eighth of an inch high. Of course, I'm like a dummy going to rust off all the loose pieces. I went, whoosh, and when I did, that piece hung right there in that finger, whoosh, ripped it wide open. Blood goes everywhere. Did I think about praying? No. I'm going to a Baptist church. I ain't never heard nobody say pray about nothing. You know, we do pray once in a while in church, but we never pray specifically for anybody, and we never tell anybody to pray for yourself. So all I did was wrap it up in a rag and go over to guess whose office I went to? The doctor's office. Of course I did. And of course, praise God for a good doctor. He washed it and cleaned it all up, took 6 stitches in that thing, and all he could say is, well, Thurman, you've done a good job. You really ripped it open deep. So he sewed it back together with 6 stitches. Now, if I'd have been a man of faith, I'd have went over and washed it off, put a Band-Aid around it, and said, thank you, God, it's healed in the name of Jesus. I wouldn't have had those 6 stitches, guaranteed. But I was not a man of faith. I was a normal person. Then he says, and then he ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. And then verse 5, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's what we like, isn't it? You're a younger girl today than you was yesterday, right? Amen. I can do all things. Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm over 40, so I guess I won't be able to go to work next week. You hear people talk like that. You know that? I have my 40th birthday, so we're going to have a black casket birthday party. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Who Are We Going to Believe? Or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.